Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner, and I want to welcome all of you who are here and those of you who are listening to this over the internet around the world. In this session, we're going to be talking about an apostle's prayer, and our scripture is Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And this is what the apostle Paul wrote there. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, strength with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul had just told the Ephesians that believers are Christ's workmanship. In other words, Christ's product. We as believers are his product. We are produced by him. Having gone through the admonishments for unity in the body, Paul then says an interesting thing, which serves to emphasize his words. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Now, why is this so important? Why is this an emphasis? Why is he emphasizing his words with this? Because at that time, it was a custom to stand when you pray. And Paul is kneeling. He's on his knees praying this prayer. And Paul is demonstrating the humility necessary to function within a body of believers. Paul, in short, is showing leadership. He's showing that he is looking to God. That all that he does, he focuses on and looks to God for the ability to do. Paul prays for the Ephesians that they may receive what is necessary from God's riches. Necessary to carry out the reason for all believers remaining in this life after salvation. Now, many times you've heard me before say that, you know, Jesus could have just taken us immediately, but then how would the word have gotten out if all of us disappeared immediately upon accepting Christ? But he left us here and gave us gifts for service. Service to serve him in his kingdom. We are subjects in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the blessing. My friends, if as never before, we must remain within the kingdom of blessing. For to step outside of that kingdom, we can open the doors to destruction to us and those around us. Those who would see us be destroyed might never come to Christ. But those who see us function with the gifts so richly given by God may then be compelled as they see our lives to come into the kingdom of the blessing, to receive the blessing, and they themselves to also spread the blessing. You see, all good gifts come from God. And it is God's desire for us to have all that he wants us to have. Now, Paul, being an apostle, had an understanding and knowledge to share. He had the giftings that God had given to an apostle to be able to do and to function in all the areas necessary for the body of Christ to come together, to learn together, and to grow together, and as a result, to grow the kingdom. So, He had an understanding. He had knowledge to share. He had it as a gift to him. And he passed it on to the Ephesians and others. As a matter of fact, that gift, when we read his words, is still today being passed on to us. We are able to understand and get more than a glimpse, but get the power and the joy and the gifts that he's talking about here simply by receiving the word of God that came to us through Paul. Now, he emphasizes that strength comes through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit being where? In the hearts of believers. This is where the Holy Spirit functions, within the heart of the believer. It's interesting to note that he mentions strength from God's riches first. Spiritual strength is necessary for spiritual growth. I will tell you this. All other growth is without power and worthless without spiritual growth and the growth of the Spirit of God moving in and through you. When the Spirit is there, but it's up to us to let that Spirit out, to let Him develop us, to let Him work with us, to let our minds be renewed, the Scripture tells us, in order that we can do the service that we were left here to do in the building of the kingdom. So spiritual strength is necessary for spiritual growth. Otherwise, a person keeps sliding back into unbelief and confusion, living a life of defeat in spiritual matters. And let me tell you, a life of defeat in spiritual matters will eventually lead to a life of complete defeat in eternity. Complete defeat in life. Frustration, anger, and this understanding that somehow you're missing it. So the temporal matters also figure into there. Because the temporal matters, those things which we see, that we see, we touch, we feel, we smell, we hear, whatever, those are all the things that God had blessed in the garden when He created mankind. Those are all the blessings that He wants you and I to have and be able to enjoy. So He wants us to have this spiritual strength and understanding so that we can carry out by submitting to Him, by humbling ourselves before Him as Paul did, so that He can work through us to bring the kingdom into reality. That's why Jesus, when He was teaching the disciples to pray, He said, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, my friends, within every believer. Now, how is it that this spiritual strength is brought about by the Spirit? Well, Paul tells us. He said, "With power through His Spirit in our inner being." So the Spirit's power comes through our inner being, from being inside us. He makes it clear that this comes about through Christ's Spirit dwelling in the heart through faith. Very, very important. It is this Spirit in the believer that will root and establish through love. That's where our root is established, through love. If we fear, we need more love to drive out fear. Anything that is not of God, our problem will always be in our love walk, because God is love, the Scripture tells us, and unless we can understand that, we will be buffeted back and forth and swayed by every wind of doctrine that comes up. It is this establishment, it is all of this being established in the believer, you see, that welds us together, not just as individuals. We're welded together in our understanding of God here, but we're welded together as all the saints. When the Scripture speaks of saints, it means believers. It welds us all together. This is very important, because it's in this union with each other that it permits each believer, as a part of the whole, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. This is what He was telling those people in Ephesus. When he wrote this letter to the Ephesians, He not only wrote it to the Ephesians, but now it's been passed on to us. You see, God's intent was that all may know him through his bond of love. Why? As I said before, because God is love. There are so many who seek God's power for themselves, by themselves, with God alone, not understanding that the Scripture says, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. You see, in a spiritual battle with the enemy, it is necessary to be bonded to other believers as well. This is why that when people say, well, I don't need to be a part of any fellowship, I don't need to be involved in any church gathering, I can just commune with God, I don't need that. Well, of course they can just commune with God. But my friends, if they're not tied into others, they can only deal with the demonic powers at the most 1,000. But the minute they start bonding with others and allowing the power of God to grow through this bond of love, then two can put 10,000 to flight. Well, then three can put 100,000 to flight, and on and on and on. This is why we need the bond of love. This is why we need to be together. This is why the apostle is praying this prayer. Because he knew that without this bond, there would be big trouble with each believer, because they would not be able to hold on. This is why it's so important that believers have more effect on the worldly people around them than they allow the worldly people to have on them. Because, you see, the reverse is also true. I'm not saying that we should never get involved with worldly people. How else would we bring them to Christ? How else could we testify to them and bring them to the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of God is love and what God wants for them? But if we find ourselves only doing that, or we find ourselves bonding more readily with those people who are not in the body of Christ, then we find ourselves at great peril, because one of them can put 1,000 or bring the pressure of thousands, and two and three and four, that will multiply. You don't want to walk into the enemy's camp and function and live just in the enemy's camp. You want the people who are deceived by the enemy to come into the camp, because our camp with the Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Scripture tells us there's freedom. Where the spirit of Satan is, there is bondage. There is bondage. There's bondage to drugs. There's bondage to alcohol. There's bondage to sex. There's bondage to gambling. There's bondage to all sorts of things that people have to go to rehab to get out of, or need special counseling to get away from, or need some sort of special work. That is not the case with Christ, because with Christ, people are freed. But in the world, the Satan will take you farther than you ever wanted to go, and it will cost you more than you ever were willing to spend had you known in advance. These are just the facts. That's the way it is. But as long as we stick together in the bond of love, as long as we open up and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight in a spiritual battle with the enemy. It is with this understanding, then, that a believer may be filled to the measure of all God's fullness. Now think about that. Would you like to be filled with the measure of all of God's fullness? How many people would like that? This is why it is so important for us to stay bonded together. This is why it's so important that the Word play a major point daily in our lives, a major part daily in our lives. Because then we are built up in the spiritual strength. We are able to see that which we could not see in the world, but we can see beyond that. We know that there are gifts of words of knowledge, gifts of prophecy. These gifts enable us to see past the smoke and mirrors that the world offers, when it offers all sorts of wonderful things to us, and then we find out later they weren't wonderful at all. They were things of bondage. They were things that would ensnare and enslave us and drag us into hell with Satan and his demons. We must give glory to God. All God's gifts are not given to the body of believers for their own personal glory, or the body's corporate glory for that matter. But these gifts are given to us to bring glory to Christ. You see, this is where the glory is. The glory is to be in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. But it only comes when we accept that glory and we allow that glory of the Spirit to work through us, to bond us together, to show the bond of love. The people then outside the body understand that they don't find that there. How sad it is. I've had many people tell me, and I know that in some cases this is true, people have told me that they found a better bond of love and friendship in bars than they have in congregations. And I know for a fact this to be true in many cases. This ought not be. In the body of Christ is where the bond of love should be seen. Now, these people all love each other because they have something in common. They're also lost. And so they're attracted to one another for protection and help. And it's really, to tell you the truth, those settings are really satanic substitutes, satanic imposters of what Christ meant the church to be. So, of course, they're going to have certain elements that are the same to those people who are adherers to it. They will feel a bond because they agree, but their agreement is not with the Lord. Their agreement is with each other. In the body of Christ and in our fellowships, in our congregations, we need to be in agreement with God, with through the bond of love, with the Holy Spirit growing in its ability to work through us, the Holy Spirit helping us to grow so that we can release or allow to be released through us the power of God Himself, so that people do not laugh and point fingers and say, oh, you're just this or you're just that, you're worthless. Let me tell you, when you go around and you've got doctors calling you saying, come pray for my patient because my patient's dying and I've done all I can do, you come and pray, and then people are healed. People who are in deep despair come to the joy of the Lord. People who are lost and floundering and wandering around, who have no bond, but are just lost, hurting, weeping inside, feeling that there is no future in their life. But we have the future they need. We have the story they need. We have the testimony they need to hear. Because we, through the power of Christ, through the power of His Spirit, can overcome anything that would attack in this life and come to victory. Bring us to victory here and carry us into eternity, knowing that we were faithful to the call to us. And therefore, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, as Paul said, forever and ever. Believers are not the whole, but a glorious part of the whole in Christ's glory. That, my friend, if you're a believer, is what you are. If you're not a believer, then you need to come to faith. You need to ask the Lord to come into your life as your Lord and as your Savior. Not your Savior without the Lordship, because how could you be in the kingdom? How could you ever accept the protection of the Lord? You know, years ago, centuries ago, castles were built and people would go into the castle and the Lord of the land there would care for them and protect them, and they could go into the castle and there was safety when the enemy attacked. That really is a microcosm of the spiritual battle. We must remain in the kingdom of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, so that we know that we have the protection of that Lord, but we also have the power given to us by that very same Lord to carry out what He has left us here to do, the building of the kingdom, that His kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. That, my friend, is what you can be a part of. Simply pray a prayer. Ask the Lord to come into your life. Turn your life over to Him. And then get in fellowship with someone who can help you through the Scriptures. This is so very important. For those of you who are believers, do not faint. Do not back off. Do not grow weary in the battle. Do not grow weary. I would encourage you, stay strong. Stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. Stay in fellowship with God and your fellow believers. bring in the kingdom. Bring in the kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for those who haven't known you, who feel that they should come to you, receive them now in the name of Jesus. Receive them as they ask you to come into their lives. They accept that Jesus is the Lord of their life and their Savior. As they pray the prayer of repentance, saying how truly sorry they are for having missed the mark, having not sought you before, come into them with great power, and let that power so shine through them that many will come into your kingdom. For those who are believers who feel they have not been doing as they could have done, not as strongly as they could, invigorate them. Encourage them. Let them know that you are always there at their side, that you will never leave them and you will never forsake them, but that your Spirit moves in and through them for your glory, bringing about your ends. So we pray this and we ask this. We say for those who are suffering with illness that they are healed in Jesus' name. Those who are suffering in the Spirit, that their spirit is invigorated in Jesus' name. And those who are oppressed by demonic forces, that they are delivered in Jesus' name. And now I say the blessings of our Lord on you and all that's yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.